This is the Meant to Be Outdoors podcast, where our mission is to connect people to the outdoors, to each other, and to themselves. I'm your host, Brian Hoffmeyer, wildlife biologist and avid outdoorsman.
And I'm Ben Brandell, your fellow adventurer and outdoor expert. We're here to tell stories, share our experiences, and be your friends as we seek to deepen our relationship with God the Creator.
Every episode, we'll share stories and practical tips to enhance your outdoor experiences, whether it's hiking, hunting, fishing, or simply finding a quiet spot to listen to God. We've got you covered.
So whether you're a seasoned outdoorsman or just getting started, the Meant to Be Outdoors podcast is here to help you be more confident and confident. Subscribe now, and let's make every outdoor moment count.
Welcome back to the Meant to Be Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Brian. Got my co-host Ben here. Our squirrel host, Ole Red, is with us today, and you may notice something different from the way that it sounds or the way that it looks if you're watching on YouTube. We are creekside today. We have been out working on a ranch, getting things ready for spring, doing some planting and fertilizing, just cleaning up, and we need to get a podcast done and look at this beautiful place that we are at today. So you're going to hear sounds that you don't normally hear when we're in our fancy, I don't know if our studio is fancy, but it is a studio that you don't normally hear crows calling in the background and things like that. But we're excited to do something a little different. Our topic today is different as well. We're actually going to go, we're calling it
Creekside Confessions.
That's right. We're going to not get real serious, but we're going to have a little fun with some outdoor themed confessions, maybe things that you think we might like or maybe that you like, but we're going to break the news that we don't really like them that much. Or a few of them are things that we do like that you've probably
I'd rather do that.
But before we get into all that fun, let's give thanks.
First off, thankful to be outdoors today. You know, we record most of our podcasts indoors, and so I truly am thankful to be outside. Hopefully this goes off without a hitch, Brian.
It is really weird to bring the tech outdoors and cross your fingers that it hopes.
It is. But yeah, I'm truly thankful to be outdoors today. And you know, another disclaimer before we get started, we have a guest with us as well. It's a Hank the dog.
The old ranch dog.
So you may hear him, see him walking behind us around. Don't give him any
treats. We are not getting attacked by a bear.
That's right. That's true.
It's just a, what is he, a red? Red Heeler?
He's got some Red Heeler in him.
He's some kind of dog. Also, I'm just thankful for the Ozarks. I love where I grew up. I love where we live. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful. And I've worked in tourism. You did as well for over a decade here. And I don't know how many times I heard people say, I had no idea the Ozarks was like this. I had no idea it was this beautiful. As a matter of fact, one time a man from California came to where I was working. It was Dogwood Canyon. And he was like, this is the most amazing. He just had the most amazing day. He was just asking so many questions. Well, a month later, here he comes again. 1 month. And he was getting a membership to Dogwood Canyon. And I was like, wow, it's good to see you again. Are you going to make it out here a lot from California? And he said, it was so awesome last time we were here. We live here now.
Wow.
I was like, wow, the Ozarks really, really is impactful. You can get jaded because you lived here. We have lived here our whole life. But I do. When I pray, I give thanks that God has allowed me to live where I live because I love it here.
I do enjoy traveling. I like to go to other places. But you hit that, I don't know, maybe even a week. And for me, I'm ready to get back home. Like, I've explored it. I've experienced it. But there's nothing like it. I love it. Absolutely.
One thing I want to say before we start talking about our confessions. We want to hear yours. You'll kind of get an idea of what we're looking for as we are sharing ours. But just kind of those things, it's like everybody likes ketchup. I hate ketchup. You know, just those things that kind of is the status quo in your genre or area of whatever it may be. But maybe you're just kind of like, you don't really get that. We would love to hear yours. Facebook, Instagram. You can direct message us or email us, mtobeoutdoors@gmail.com. All great ways to get a hold of us. But we definitely want to hear your outdoor confessions as well.
Yeah, so let's start it off.
You start us off.
Okay, all right. I'll be the first to confess. You know, the outdoors, you and I have experienced a lot in the outdoors. And when we were younger, we didn't have as many opportunities as maybe per se when we started driving.
Right.
And so once we started feeling or getting a little more freedom, we got to go out and try new things. And one of those that I started doing when I started driving was fishing. More out of a boat or a vessel.
Yes. instead of just from the bank.
Correct. Yeah. I just, during those times, I never really ever wanted a canoe. I never really wanted a kayak. I had been out on trips before in canoes and kayaks. But to be honest with you, just never really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I just never, it just wasn't what I always, always wanted to be in a flat bottom boat. And then as I started getting older, they started, especially in our area, they started bringing them here, jet boats. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing more and more. My uncle, he went and bought a jet boat. It's got a flat bottom boat with a jet motor on the back to where your prop isn't going to hit any rocks up these.
Explain the jet, the impeller.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically you're blowing air into the water. I'll just say it that way.
Like a jet ski or a Sea-Doo.
Yeah,
they don't
have
a metal prop spinning around.
Correct.
They do, but it's not. It's internal. It's not external.
Yeah, and so you can go upriver. You still have to watch out for rocks, but you're not really worried about your
prop. A good one might be able to come up this creek.
I was going to say, I mean, they say, I don't know, 6 inches of water, but that's what I loved. I wanted it. I wanted to be on it. So always wanted one. When I would go paddling on paddling trips and I would see somebody come up the river up through us, I would get so jealous. Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm stuck in this stinking kayak.
I'd get mad because they make dang waves on the river.
Well, yeah, everyone else was mad because they're like, but that'd be my first confession, is that I'm not a huge fan of paddling. It wasn't until I got into college that I really learned more of an appreciation for it. Once I graduated, I started guiding on the river, paddling trips for at-risk youth. And so I began to enjoy it, learn how to do it better. But to this day, if I had to pick, give me a jet boat, and we can put in anywhere, and we can, what they call floating around here, we can float anywhere in a jet boat, baby.
Well, what's so awesome with the jet boat is you can put in and go, if you want to go up 4 or 5 miles.
Right.
And then you wanted to float down,
yes,
you can.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the whole vehicle shuttle from drop off
to
start.
That's the number one thing. The second thing is I can stand up. I can dance.
It's a lot easier to set the hook on a bass when you're standing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the main reasons that I like to be out on the water is to fish when those opportunities arise. So that'd be my first confession, that I would rather be in a jet boat than in a kayak.
Well, I will say you are consistent with that, because as long as I have known you, which is like, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 years something now, you have said that. When we first started talking about what we love to do outdoors, and you used to say you wanted a jet boat, not even just over a canoe and a kayak. You wanted it over a bass boat.
You're right.
I don't know if that's still true today, but
no, because
you really want both.
I that's exactly. There's my confession. I want both, not just one.
Yeah. And the reason you need both is you can't take the bass boat with the prop and the big engine to all the same places you can with
a
jet boat.
Correct.
And also, in most tournaments, you aren't allowed to use a jet boat because you kind of have an advantage of places that you can go. Most pro circuits, they're banned because people utilized it in one.
That way.
They got to fish nobody else could get to.
Yep.
You know, my first one is I'll stick with fish, and I'll stick with the theme of fishing, and that is what they call the umbrella rig, Alabama rig, A rig for short.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it since we have been heavy into fishing and tournament fishing, it has hit the scene. It got banned from most pro circuits. I hate the daggum thing, Ben. I hate it.
Yep.
I hate casting it. I hate reeling it in. I hate going down the lake in certain times of year. Every boat I go by, it's white bass season now. It's just starting here, March in the Ozarks. And we're going to go out on the river, and we're going to pass 20 boats, and 19 of them are going to have 2 or 3 guys in them, all casting the chandelier.
Oh, yeah.
Into 3 feet of water.
Well, it is effective. It is effective.
Well, that's why they banned it.
Correct.
Because it was so effective.
But it is effective. But I understand. You and I fished a tournament together, and that's the only bait I tied on, mm-hmm. and I used it an entire tournament. And I'll just say it wasn't fun. I don't hate it, and I don't even dislike it. But if you're going to fish it all day, it's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I do. My understanding of it is this. If you are going to fish a tournament that is allowed and they are biting it, you better be throwing it or you will lose. You have no chance. So I have 3 of them.
Yeah.
And I do throw it, and I've caught fish on it. But
well, you might also explain what it is real quick.
Where we live, you can only have 3 single hooks on a bait legally. Go down to Arkansas, you can have, I think, 5. But basically, it is – you have one line tie where you tie your fishing line to, and coming off of it are wires that are 6-8 inches long, and at the end of each wire is a bait. And I think ours have 5 or 6, and so some of them have to be what we call dummy baits. They have no hooks.
No hook, yep.
And then you strategically place your 3 hooks, and they basically have swim baits, like swimming paddle tail baits.
Like a minnow.
Yeah. So it's mimicking like a small school of shad or minnows, and yeah, the bass, they like it.
They do.
They like it a lot.
But why do you hate it? I mean, hate's a stronger word than dislike, and you said hate, I think, 5 times?
Yes. So the first thing is, like you said, like it's physically demanding. You have to have this big, heavy rod, heavy line, heavy reel. But I hate how it takes so much strength to cast it over and over again. You can't even cast it like a normal, like you have to do like kind of this wave of a cast. And it just splashes down. They call it the chandelier as well, because it sounds like if you took a chandelier from the front deck of your boat and you dropped it into the water. And so just that splash, it kind of takes away from that intimate, quaint feel. Like when you're outdoors and you're on the water, you're trying to make these precise casts that are landing all soft and smooth so you don't spook the fish. Ain't none of that with the A-rig. It is just
That thing hung up also. It's hard to get it out.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll have to admit, since this is a confessions podcast, I've been in the boat with people fishing, and I fished against people, and I've been stubborn, and I said, I'm not going to fish that. And they have absolutely beat my brains in. I've watched one of my friends catch 5-pounder after 5-pounder one day, and I got one bite. And I was in the same boat fishing in the same area.
So is that why you went and bought 3 afterwards, since we have 3 today?
I already had them. I was like, they're going to throw it. I'm not going to. But when you're throwing a lawn chair over and over again in the water, of course the other guys aren't going to catch anything.
It's called stubborn, man. It's called stubborn.
Anyway, that's my first one in the fishing world. I got another one in the fishing world. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well,
what's your next one?
I'll go back to... We'll get out of fishing. This one, this confession is kind of hard because, you know, we talk a lot about doing this. We talk a lot about going in the outdoors and how you get there. And we talk about backpacking and camping.
It doesn't necessarily mean you don't think that people should do it. It's just maybe not for you.
And it isn't necessarily not for me. It's really, everybody should do it. That's kind of why this
you
is
need
my
another
confession.
Element.
Like,
you
yeah.
need another element.
So something that I truly don't enjoy is just walking to walk. So when people use the word hiking, do you want to go hike? Let's go hike.
You always ask another question.
I pause because I don't truly enjoy just hiking. I don't, you know, by definition of hiking, of just going out and walking and looking, it's not fun for me.
Right.
However, if there's a group of people, or maybe just you,
mm-hmm.
somebody, a friend says, hey, will you go hike with me? Of course. But it's not something that I'm just pumped for.
Well, you always want to know why. Like,
because
you need an objective.
Yeah, and so do I hike today? Absolutely. But what I do is I need a purpose to go out and just walk to walk. So, like, it's March. At the end of March here, Morel mushrooms are going to be coming up. So
you will hike for
I would
miles.
Hike for, yes, days and days to look for morels. So, again, I'm not against the physical aspect of walking or hiking, but I just need a purpose to go do it. So mushroom hunting is a purpose that I go out to hike for. Hiking to go camp gives me that purpose.
Yep.
In my mind, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get through this hike so that I can go.
It's like there's something
eat.
To achieve at the end,
yes.
rather than I just walk to loop.
Just walk to walk. Like,
and there's nothing wrong with it. There's some people that is like, that is their outdoor passion.
Well, in my neighborhood and in yours, you know, people will just go walk. Mm-hmm. They'll call it exercise, but they'll go walk.
Our wives will just go
walk down and back. I really struggle to just enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people that just, that's an enjoyment, just going out and being out there and hiking. Not for me. I need a purpose.
Something similar for me is running. Like my brother-in-law and my sister, they love to run. They, every weekend, we're doing a run over here, we're doing a run over there, and I hate running,
mm-hmm.
but I have no problem running to play basketball.
Right.
I love that.
Right. You don't even think about it.
I'll run for miles and miles and miles. But just to run, to say I'm running, it isn't for me. And yeah. Again, nothing against people that love running. Yeah. We all have those things that we love to do outdoors.
Well, and as outdoorsmen,
I kind of agree with you on the hiking, though. I like to have a
people something might think at the that end. Hiking is what an outdoorsman should do, or maybe might enjoy. And I just want to share that out. You don't have to.
You don't have to
enjoy it.
Fair enough.
But if you're going to go out, there are things that you can come up with that make it fun.
Yep.
So,
all right. This next one might be one that when people think of and they think of Ben and Brian meant to be outdoors, they're probably like, ah, Ben and Brian are probably against that. They don't do that. Well, spoiler alert, I like to camp in a camper.
Uh-oh.
We post
now
pictures.
That's a sin.
We guide trips. We sleep in hammocks. Yep. We sleep in tents. You know what? Sometimes we just sleep right on the ground with nothing. Yep. And I'm okay with all that, but I'm here to tell you, if you go out camping, you're out in the sun all day long, you eat your big supper, and you can go take a shower and lay down the air conditioning and sleep like a baby.
When it's summer and you walk into that AC in that thing,
you can't stay awake.
Oh, man.
Well, let me give you a story where I really, because I used to kind of be on that side of like, I don't need the camper, I don't want the camper. Didn't really grow up with campers, maybe a pop-up 1 year here or there, but almost tents my whole life, and kind of was jealous of or curious of what it was like, all these people that stayed in campers all the time. For my brother-in-law's bachelor party, I was the best man, so I got to plan it. Of course, if I'm in charge, we're not going to the big city. We're planning outdoor adventures.
Right.
So I plan a camping trip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of these fellas, maybe it was going to be a little out of their element. So I found a way, which I'm not affiliated with them at all. It's called Outdoorsy. It's a website. And people list like Airbnb their campers on there. And you can either tow them if you have a tow vehicle or pay a little extra and they can tow it for you. And I did that. I rented a camper that would sleep. I think it was like six of us guys. And they literally came, dropped it off, set it up, and we just showed up at the campsite and it was there. It was awesome.
That is easy.
Well, I had to show my dominance the first night, and I brought my hammock and I set my hammock up, and I slept a little bit, and everybody else slept a lot. They had a lot more life to them the next day. This was in June. It was pretty hot. And then the next night, we were there for like 4 or 5 nights. We were there pretty long. The next night there was a threat of storms, and I looked at that hammock and I was like, is there another bed in there? They were like, oh, yeah. Well, guess where I slept the rest of the nights we were on the in the AC in that camper. And I told anybody that wanted to have that hammock, they could have it. I do love sleeping in my hammock. You've probably seen videos of me that I put up online. I love the hammock, but there's no AC in one.
You know, that's why, I mean, being an outdoorsman, there's nothing wrong with it, honestly. But I do, you know, people might hear that and be like, oh, my gosh, you know, you live in the camper life.
If I have to be Brian the Wimp camper life, I'll take it.
I didn't grow up with campers either.
Yeah, this wasn't really an option.
Yeah, car or tent. You know, I'll confess that I hate sleeping in a tent.
Mm.
I really do. That's
stuffy.
Why. It's the hassle of putting the thing up and taking it down.
I always feel so stuffy.
I would rather, and most of the time, and people that know me, my friends know me, I most of the time just sleep on the ground.
Yeah.
I'll take a tarp and roll in it or hang
like
it
that
up.
Dog.
Yeah, I just I'll just lay down and go to sleep on the ground. I would prefer that than to set up that stinking tent and then take it down. And then guess what? When you get home, you got to dry the thing out because it's soaking wet because you didn't have enough time in the morning to dry it out. I kind of can relate to you there, but no, campers are awesome. They bring a lot of comfort.
All right. You got one more for us?
Oh.
We're each doing three, right?
Yeah, let's do three.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we keep going. My third, I'm going to go with my top three that probably this one might be a shock to you a little bit because I have set many, many hours with Brian in a tree stand, but I really don't. If I got to choose, I would rather be down on the ground, walking, hiking, riding on a mule, I said I didn't like hiking, right? Yeah. Right. But see, this is with a purpose.
Yeah.
I would rather go look for deer than wait for deer to come to me.
So this is a deer hunting one.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. And so to just sit in a stand all day long,
so
it's fun till, I don't know, about 2 o'clock. I'm done.
So you
I'm ready to get out of there. I'm ready to go stretch my legs. Yeah, I struggle sitting in a stand. It's not just super enjoyable. And the reason I'm saying this is because I know you're completely opposite. Like,
yeah.
Because I know that you can sit in this thing, you could probably even sleep in it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, you know what? I'm not as passionate as he is about that. Because, you know, even lunch, when lunch comes, I'm ready to get down. I'm like, I just got to do 2 more hours.
Nah, and you just sit up there and eat or skip lunch.
I would prefer to stalk. That is more enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
But again, I don't live in an area that I have 100 deer just come out and just stand there all day. Like, I'm thankful when I see one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I, you and I have also been what's called still hunting. Not really so much spot and stalk where we live. It doesn't really allow you that opportunity to actually spot deer and make a move on them. Still hunting, which is more, it's called still hunting, but you're really moving as slow and silent as possible, kind of trying to intersect with whatever you're hunting. You love it. You do love that.
I do enjoy it.
We usually reserve muzzleloader or black powder late season in December and January for that. But you are right. I love to sit in a tree stand before the sun come up to after it goes down. I love it. I don't need to get down. I'll stay there for however many hours of daylight there are, and I'll get up and I'll do it again the next day.
I know. It's because you truly enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, I mean, I would be fine if I'm getting out of daylight. I would be fine to come down at 10.
Yeah.
And just be done. Or what I do is I usually get down at about 10, and I go hike.
Yeah.
And I look for deer.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
And that's really fun, too, because you have to kind of think like a deer.
Yep.
I love the challenge of placing a tree stand, of scouting and finding, okay, these deer are going here because what are they doing this time of year? Let's go find those areas and doing all the scouting, finding the sign, and then trying to see if you put your stand in the right spot. But I also love, even if I don't see any deer, just watching what the forest does, or if you're hunting in a food plot or in a field, watching what the plants, the animals, the water, watching all the changes that happen through a day.
Right.
Watching when they sleep. Sometimes deer will come and just sleep by you, like watching how they eat, just observing and taking in. I have loved that since I was a child. That is a huge reason. I mean, that it is part of why I became a wildlife biologist. Just, I love observing nature. And we sit in our houses all the time. We're so disconnected from it.
It's true.
So disconnected from it. To be out in it right now, if you just crouch down right here beside this creek and watched a 1 foot square in front of you, there's a whole story to be told, and it would change throughout the day. You probably think, yeah, all right, that would be so boring. No, that square would change throughout the day.
Right.
And then you would go home and you'd think and contemplate, what did I just see? Why did this happen? And start trying to find answers to those questions. And that's why I enjoy just sitting, almost being like a spectator, but almost like a out-of-body spectator. Like, you're kind of just hovering above, looking in when you're up in that tree stand up above everything. Mm. It's a very different perspective, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I listening to your story,
hey, you want to go do it.
Well, I do, yeah. I think what I'm realizing, though, right now, talking this out and confessing,
yeah,
is I get really uncomfortable. It's my lower back, in between my shoulder blades.
Yeah. You are old now.
You're exactly right. But there are older men that still do it, so
yes.
I know that I can. It's just that I think I just get to a point where I just get so uncomfortable that I'm like, man, this ain't. So maybe if I could find a way to truly sit comfortably in a stand, maybe I could do a you know, sunrise to sunset type.
Maybe if we ever have enough money to buy the expensive stand, they might be a little more comfortable.
Yeah, that could be. I've never had
one. I asked you one time if you had a hang-on stand. We were going to go hang a double set.
Yeah.
And the stand you showed up with, you're a better man than me for sitting in that thing, because I would never have sat in it.
Yep.
Not only did it look uncomfortable, but I don't even know what some of the parts and pieces were of that homemade thing.
It was homemade, yeah. And, I mean, the seat on it was, I don't know, about the size of a,
Half of a dinner plate?
Well, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, I was going to say like a, well, you put like a hot pad, like a serving pad, you put like a hot pan on a
Yeah, a half a dinner plate.
It was tiny. Maybe that's why. Maybe you need to buy me a real nice stand to experience that.
Yeah, no hints on the Christmas. Or I guess you got a birthday coming up.
I do, yeah. Yeah.
No hints on that. Well, have you done all three of yours?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. All right. You got one more?
It's another fishing one.
Fishing. Good.
It's another fishing one.
Good.
So this has, I'm going to start with something I love, but there's something about this thing that I love that I don't love.
Mm-hmm.
I love to fly fish. I love the, again, kind of, oh, I love the challenge. I started out fly fishing actually for panfish. Fly fishing isn't huge here in the Ozarks where we live. There is some of it.
Yep.
But I started out going for bluegill and sunfish out of my kayak. It was so fun using little poppers, getting those little blow-ups,
yeah,
learning to cast. Well, then I got into actually trout fishing and wading in the stream. And that is a whole nother level. And all the vast variety of flies is what's always changing. There's people creating all the time.
Right.
I got the opportunity to work with two men who are way more passionate, way more skilled than I was about it. One of them is a good friend still. I still talk to him. His name's Aaron Nyrider, and he is from Wyoming. He lives in Wyoming now, where fly fishing is huge. It's like a rite of passage. And he was so good at tying flies.
Right.
Beautiful. It was like artistic. And so I kind of learned from them a little bit, took a few classes. I have actually taught a few times a fly tying class.
Yeah.
I can do it, not as good as those guys, but I'm going to tell you, I hate tying flies. I'd rather go to the fly shop,
right,
fill my box of flies. They're stinking expensive. That's the worst part.
It is.
Fill it up and go fish with them and catch trout.
But you're not a guy.
I'm not artistic.
Yeah. And so I think that's where, if you could sit down and recreate an insect that you saw, man, that's a gift.
It is.
Like, it is a gift. Like, these guys, how they, it's
amazing.
That's a good point.
That's probably why I don't like it, because I stink at it.
Right.
But yeah. The reason I even bring that up is that so often, if you meet an outdoorsman or fisherman that say, oh, I love to fly fish, and, oh, yeah, do you fly fish? And I answer, yeah, I love it too. The next question always is, Do you tie flies?
Tie your own flies, yeah.
And I've just started being honest, saying, you know what? I can, but I don't like it.
Right.
I don't like it at all. And I'm not, I can't tie some elaborate things, and I can't create my own. I can tie, you know, basic woolly boogers and small streamers and things like those, and watch tutorials and get one done. But yeah, I don't enjoy it. My buddy Blake, he's really good. He loves to do it.
He is.
He creates and ties good ones.
And it does feel good when you create that fly and you go out and you're successful with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is what's the word I'm looking for? Not honor.
Gratification.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is fun.
Yeah. I just like to be the test. You know, if people tie a fly and they're like, here, try this. And you know what? Yeah, I'll catch a fish on that for you. There was an older man who worked for me as a fly fishing guide. And he's probably 90 years old now, but he loved to tie flies. And he would create these things that they weren't really elaborate. Like, they weren't these
simple,
big, beautiful ones
simple.
That people were trying to put on Instagram and things, because he didn't care about that. He just wanted it to catch a fish. But what I loved was that he always used a little heavier hook. And I loved that. And it would be simple, and some people would be like, well, that's ugly. That isn't even that good. I thought all our squirrel host was going down there with the
red,
wind, and I was going to have to catch
there,
you.
Red. Man.
But what he tied and gave me, he was always so excited for me to use. Mm-hmm. And they were always effective. I always caught fish on them. I still have some of them today. Griff. Well, we called him Griff. And some of them I probably will. I'll save a couple of them just to remember old Griff by. But I love being that test. If somebody wants to tie one up and see if they catch fish, I'll sure tie it on and cast it for you.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, fly fishing is a blast. I would agree with you. I struggled getting pumped up to trout fish.
Yeah. Fly fishing adds that element.
It does, yes. You know, fly fishing, which
I mean, started casting, like with the spinning rod.
Well, with fly fishing, I really started for white bass.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of guys doing that when I was younger, and I was like, I want to try that. But to go out and trout fish, I enjoy it. It is fun. But I'd already experienced bass fishing.
Right.
When you feel that thump, and it's just completely different.
It
so
is a different
so
thing.
When I get the opportunity, I'm gonna go bass fish before trout fishing. So yeah. I've got some. I can kind of relate to you in some of that there, but it's all fun.
It is.
It's all,
it is
all a fun. Good time.
Well, you have any honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions for
any confession? Honorable mentions before we wrap up.
Share yours first. What do you got?
So, I love to hunt. We talk about it all the time on the podcast. I love hunting, mm-hmm. particularly deer hunting. Deer and turkey are probably my top two, but really anything. I love to hunt. Can I use the word hate again?
Strong word, man. Go ahead.
I really dislike, you didn't give me permission, okay. I really dislike watching hunting shows on the internet or TV. I really dislike it. Now, I used to work for one for about 3 years.
Okay.
And be a part of one and help produce one and video and was sometimes on it. Maybe the word is jaded. I think that jaded me. So seeing how produced they can be.
Right, yeah.
And learning... Okay, that's
but that's
not
anything,
real.
That's, though, honestly.
It is, but it ruined it for me.
Right.
And, you know, you and I were talking earlier today, like, the second you decide to try to make one of your passions something you love, the second you decide to make that a career, a job,
right.
There's going to be a little something that you lose there. And I loved hunting.
Yeah.
My first job out of college was in the hunting industry, and it took away, I watched hunting shows before that, and I try every once in a while, about once a year, I try to watch some of them, and I just can't. I just don't enjoy it anymore. There is one that has been really successful online on YouTube that every once in a while when they have a big episode, I can stand to watch it, and that's The Hunting Public, and they're massive now. But why I enjoy that is because it is not very produced. It is just guys being guys. It just, whether it's produced or not, it doesn't feel very produced. They've found a really good way of making it not feel produced. And so I'm able to consume that and feel like I'm just hanging out with those guys. They've really, really grabbed that niche. But most of the time, Outdoor Channel, I used to leave it on before I left for class in college and come back and watch it.
Right.
And it was still going, and it was just on all the time. If I never turn it on again, I'll be okay with that.
Right. I guess I'll piggyback off of that. I would say, I'll go as far as to say I feel that way a little bit about fishing, mainly out of jealousy.
You know what?
Because I have such a hard time watching
this before.
Because if I watch it all day, it makes me, I just want to be out there doing it so bad. So I do have to turn that off. But the one that really gets me is survival. Any of the
survival shows.
Any of the survival shows. And mainly because my son will watch that and believe it. let's just use Bear Grylls for an example.
Yeah.
Bear
Grylls. Extremely produced.
It is. Yeah. You know, to show there was one episode where he took Shaq out, Shaquille O'Neal, and they had some grappling gun and they shot it over the mountain. And then, you know.
Shaq's 330
I know,
pounds.
But let's just say that he was going to climb. Next scene, you look back and somebody's tied the knot up there. And I'm like, son, I know that's so cool. And I wish we could just do those things, but it's not reality. When you look at a lot of these shows and all of a sudden they've got a rope.
Or they walked in with a blue rope and now they're climbing down a black rope. And you're like, what happened here?
How did that? So, you know, some of that, I don't enjoy that because it's just not real.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have any. Let's be real. We could probably go down a long list of Creekside Confessions. Maybe if the episode's a hit, Creekside Confessions will have to be a quarterly special or something.
Yeah, but I would love to hear yours.
Yeah.
So
here's some of the
please
listeners.
Please share yours. We'll post them.
m2boutdoors@gmail.com. Again, Facebook, Instagram. Thank you so much for listening and watching today. I hope doing something a little different felt special to you guys. Kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
We would just ask that if you do enjoy the podcast, we're getting near 150, I think. any episode through there. If you've had one that you've enjoyed, we just ask that you would share it with somebody. That is the best way for a podcast to mm-hmm. grow. We can pay for all the marketing, but it's just so believable when you go to someone you know and say, you know what, this is really good. I think you might enjoy this, or you might be able to take something away from this. And we just appreciate that so much. We won't know that you did it. We might if somebody comes and says, I listen, but most of the time we don't know, but do know we appreciate that. We appreciate you listening, appreciate you watching. Yeah, I guess that's it for this episode of Creekside Confessions. We'll be back next week. We'll probably be in the studio. We don't know yet, but we'll have a brand new episode for you next week. Until that time, we hope that you remember you are meant to be outdoors.
Thank you for listening to the Meant to Be Outdoors podcast, hosted by Brian Hoffmeyer and Ben Brandel. Please help us by subscribing. Also, follow along on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook.